This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
This bill was just submitted, and it's sponsored by Sunset Hills-based David Gregory, House Rep elected to the state Senate just last month. Gregory wants to pay Missourians $1,000 if they turn someone in. We've pulled some sections of the state senator's bill. The first part reads that someone here illegally is prohibited from voting in any election. It also keeps a person from receiving any permit or license to drive, receiving any public benefit, and becoming a legal resident of the state.
Yeah, there's a part of the coverage locally. I think that was at David Amelotti over at Channel 4 covering the story of Senator-elect David Gregory and his bill. And the story has kind of gone nationwide. I see coverage out in Montana, New York, and all over the place. And we've got the Senator-elect on the phone this morning. David, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. You got smart and left town when all this happened, didn't you?
No. As a matter of fact, I was enjoying my first vacation in about 22 months when this happened, so it was cut short, but that's okay.
Well, good for you, man. Listen, so set the story straight on this, because I think there's been a lot of misreporting over what your bill would do and how exactly it would work.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I am hearing so many different things, And I can't tell if it's the typical left media lying, which would not be strange one bit, or if they are genuinely confused, maybe a little bit of both. I don't know. But here's the deal. It is not actually a bounty program, okay? It does involve bounty hunters, but it's not a bounty program. It's a reward program, and it's modeled exactly after ICE's reward program. ICE currently, and even under the Obama administration, had a tip line where you call in and you are rewarded for reporting illegal immigrants. We are bringing that to the state. That's what's happening. So what we're doing is doubling down. We're augmenting this, supplementing it. So this is basically a state ICE program is what I'm trying to help people understand.
Right.
You know, ICE right now, you can see right now, and even on their website, they are requesting, in fact, begging states to cooperate. And they're telling us that state and local law enforcement across the country, some jurisdictions aren't cooperating at all, others very minimally. And so that's what this bill does. It sets the framework to do that, and it also makes it illegal here so that finally, as a state crime, our police can effect arrests. So that's, in a nutshell, what's going on.
I think the confusion might be in the wording of the summary, and I understand what you're saying, but at one point it says any person who makes a report in which an illegal alien is arrested shall receive a reward of $1,000. Now, it sounds like that's just you simply picking up the telephone and calling. Well, the next one talks about how you're going to certify applicants to be bounty hunters. So you're not suggesting, or are you, that Joe Schmo, who thinks there's an illegal living next door, could go try to hunt down that person and bring them to police? That's certainly not what you're suggesting, because that's kind of the way the media is painting it.
Yeah, exactly. So that's another point in the weeds that they're trying to spin. So yes, we are certifying a bounty hunting program. Right now we have bail bondsmen, right? And they are certified to the Department of Commerce to go and pick up U.S. citizens that are due in court. What I wanted to do is create a separate heightened program for doing things similar with illegal immigrants, but There are so many rules and laws that have to be followed. Bounty hunters can't make their own decisions to go bust in doors. Bounty hunters can't walk up to somebody and say, hey, show me your documentation. As a matter of fact, the police can't. Currently and under my bill, even the police cannot walk up to an illegal immigrant and say, hey, are you legal? Show me your documentation. Under this bill and under the law, you have to actually do a very specific investigation. It goes through the Department of Public Safety. And only if it's determined this person's illegal, there has to be a warrant. So it cannot be a warrantless arrest or a warrantless stop. It has to be a warrant that's issued. And then either law enforcement or if we don't have enough law enforcement, which we're short on, we're going to have specialized and trained bounty hunters to go effect the arrest, and only can the Department of Public Safety dispatch those bounty hunters to effect the arrest.
Sure.
That's what's going on.
So the public's involvement would be calling that toll-free number and tipping law enforcement off that they think there's someone illegal. Is that right?
That's the only public involvement. You can't do anything else. As a matter of fact, if the public does anything else, they're going to find themselves in jail.
Yeah, that's a problem. Where would the money come from, David?
The money would have to be appropriated. It's a program. It's a law enforcement program like anything else. We have a current Department of Public Safety, and within that department, we have an Office of Homeland Security. But right now, our Office of Homeland Security punts entirely. Hey, we got no jurisdiction here whatsoever on illegal immigration. Well, you know what? That's changing.
Any way to gauge how much you think this could cost?
No, I don't yet. Of course, we'll have the fiscal note after there's input and then fiscal review and hearings. But I'll tell you what, it won't cost near as much as the lives of the women and children that we're saving.
That's a good point. Senator-elect David Gregory on the phone with us this morning. So obviously, we're less than a month away from the opening of the session. You'll be sworn into office as the senator from District 15. This one's kind of gotten all the headlines, but what else are you looking forward to working on in this session?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to all kinds of issues. I'll tell you, it's just been disappointing with a Republican-controlled Senate, Republican-controlled House, and a Republican governor that we haven't gotten more done. But I'm very hopeful, and I can feel the sentiment. I've been in Senate caucus with the Senate Republicans, and they're getting along. They're talking. They're brainstorming. I feel really good about this session. Now, of course, there will be some fights. That's okay. That's the way the process is. But I think you're going to see a much different Senate in that it will work together more than usual, I can say. So I'm excited to do that and get a lot of our priorities done. School choice is something I campaigned on. It's very important to me, near and dear to me. That's one of my first bills I filed as well. So that's another one I'm going to be working on.
Yeah. Are you interested in addressing Amendment 3?
Oh, we definitely have to address Amendment 3. There was a lot of confusion on that. There was a lot of advertising showing what Amendment 3 actually means. And so many of my voters are like, well, if that's true, I don't want Amendment 3, but I don't know who to believe anymore.
Right.
Well, sure enough, as soon as Amendment 3 barely passed, Planned Parenthood had their lawsuit ready to clarify all those heinous and horrible things that we told the folks would happen. So it's already happening. Planned Parenthood is already laughing, flying in the face of everyone they tricked. And so we've got to do something about that.
All right. Senator-elect David Gregory, we appreciate your time this morning. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks so much for having me.
You bet. Good to get you on here. All right, good. Quick break here. We've got Brenda Talent coming up, of course, with the Show Me Institute. And they talk a lot about what Missouri needs to do to move forward. They put out a blueprint every year with some great ideas on it. We're going to check in with her right after the break. Well, you heard me say it a minute ago, just a little less than a month from the opening of the Missouri legislative session. We just talked to the senator there about what he would like to do, David Gregory, when he takes office. And, you know, they always go in with grand plans and then somebody throws a wrench in the middle of it. But the point is, there are good things we could do with the supermajority if we can just get it done in Jeff City. One good way to do that might be having a blueprint before you get there. And our friends at the Show Me Institute have just what we ordered. We've got Brenda Talent, head of the Show Me Institute, on here with us now, president, and great to have her back. Brenda, how are you?
I'm great, Mark. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Now, I was looking over your blueprint for 2025. Hopefully, the legislature has looked over it. The thing that immediately caught my eye, got to be honest with you, it's not first or second, but about the third or fourth thing down, which is the Missouri Parents Bill of Rights. Yes, please tell me how we get this adopted.
Well, we get this adopted by having people who actually, you know, walk the walk instead of just talk the talk.
Yes.
This is about parents being able to know what's going on in their schools, whether it's how the kids are performing, whether it's how the finances are being used, how the money's being used, or whether it's what's happening in the classroom. Missouri parents have a right to know. I mean, they are the primary people responsible for the education of their children. And they have the right to direct and make decisions about that. And you begin by having transparency. So this particular Parents' Bill of Rights has been out there. We've had a number of people talk about the fact that they believe in it. They just haven't gotten it across the finish line. And it really, when we look at the state of education in Missouri, what this Parent Bill of Rights is talking about is true transparency. We don't have that, whether it's at the Department of Elementary and Secondary level on how schools and school districts are actually performing in a way that parents can understand versus what's happening in the classroom. And we need those rights to be enshrined in our law because they're not doing it right now without, you know, the power of the law behind it.
So of the 17 different policy ideas that are outlined here in this blueprint for moving Missouri forward, you know, some of them include welfare reform, budgetary reform, nuclear energy. Is there one or maybe there's two in particular that you feel like the, you know, this legislative session you really hope get addressed?
Yeah, I'm very optimistic that with our governor-elect, when he was campaigning, he talked about two items. They're very broad, but they're here. One is robust educational choice. We need to begin competing with other states where they're offering parents basically a full menu of options for directing the education of their children. The other is really getting our tax and regulatory system under control. And we have in here what we call the Taxpayer Bill of Rights, where our government has been growing. I guess it's sort of like topsy because we've almost doubled our budget in the last 5 years, and we need to rein that in and return the money back to the taxpayers of Missouri, which means reducing our income tax rates. So those are things which the governor-elect has talked about. I'm optimistic that we'll see legislation moving those concepts forward because they're very important for us as a state if we want to compete with the states around us. And let's be honest about it. We are in competition for attracting businesses and people with those other states.
Brenda, I have to tell you, I was honored to get to MC your anniversary dinner recently and enjoyed hearing Dr. Art Laffer. And one of his focus points that whole evening was sunsetting the income tax in the state of Missouri, just figuring out a way to get rid of it. He knows it won't happen overnight, but that's clearly one of the points in your blueprint as well.
It is. And one of the ways that we try to move towards that direction is through our Taxpayer Bill of Rights, because you've got to begin by containing the growth of government. And the people of Missouri have a right to have a say in whether we want government to grow. In the last few years, our elected officials have just been growing it on their own and making commitments that are going to be pretty hard to claw back. And so those are things that, you know, we need to address as a state, again, if we want to be competitive.
Yeah, and I worry about the role, the power that the lobbyists have in Jeff City, to be honest, because, you know, when it comes to property tax reform, you know, the Municipal League is going to be down there fighting against it tooth and nail.
They do, but, you know, people and our policymakers need to begin justifying why their budget should be growing at the rate that they're growing. I mean, we saw with personal property tax, we've seen with real property tax, that provisions of the Hancock Amendment that's supposed to protect taxpayers aren't working, and they don't even apply for personal property tax. In other words, for real property tax, there's supposed to be a rollback to sort of maintain that level of funding, if you will.
Yeah.
But we saw with personal property tax, there's no such provision. And while people are being hit with inflation, they're being hit with these huge tax bills, too.
Yeah, most of them just arrived in the mail earlier this month for most people.
Sure did.
That's right. And they're having to figure out, hey, well, how are we going to pay for this between now and December 31st? No doubt about that. So do you guys email this out to every incoming legislator just to make sure they've seen it?
Well, what we actually do is it's on our website right now, so everyone has access to it at showmeinstitute.org. But we print it, and we go to Jefferson City in January. We physically deliver these documents to every elected official, both statewide and in the General Assembly. So they get this entire booklet. This year, we'll also be delivering to them targeted ones where it's applicable, our model policy. That that particular book will be coming out in the next couple of weeks. It really expands upon the blueprint and gives people a sort of a how-to booklet, because we'll even have language on how you can change Missouri statutes in order to accomplish the items that we're talking about. I mean, obviously, we're making recommendations in our blueprint, but sometimes you got to make it really simple, and that booklet will make it very simple.
I hope people are listening and paying attention. The 2025 blueprint is up there at showmeinstitute.org. Brenda Talent, thank you as always. Great having you on again.
And thank you, Mark. Thank you for everything.
Yes, we'll talk again soon. We're going to be back in just a few minutes with Wiggins America. Stay right where you are.
Wiggins! Oh! Wiggins!
So, Ryan, did you recognize that song he played in there?
Well, yeah, but I'd never heard it get into the funk later. I remember the beginning, but it gets pretty...
And it's only relevant today for a very kind of negative reason. That's Chuck Mangione.
Okay.
So far as we know, no relation to Luigi Mangione, who's been arrested in the shooting of the healthcare executive.
But how many Mangionis?
I don't know. Maybe on the East Coast there are more Mangionis. It seemed like an uncommon name, and I don't know that I've even ever heard it outside of Chuck Mangione, which is why, Carl, we were talking about it in the break, and he queued up that music.
And Kim's like, is that from a game show?
He was a flugelhorn player, wasn't he?
It kind of sounded like The Price is Right. The song I'm thinking of, Price is Right?
Yeah.
I gotta ask, as somebody who did not grow up in the 70s,
was
there a market for that?
That was a top 10 hit.
Yeah, because I've heard that song, but I'm like, where was this played?
How
was
much
this
music
radio?
Has evolved?
Radio. Wow.
So people would get really stoned, and they would put that album on and just kind of chill out.
See, I thought that was like Dark Side of the Moon. I wouldn't have pictured Chuck Mangione being a stoner haven.
I don't know. I don't know if he was or not. I mean, I know the song. I obviously never owned the album or anything, but I was familiar with the
and
artist.
The album version is like 12 minutes.
Sure.
I'd rather listen to that than some of the other music that's out there right now.
Yeah. Speaking of this guy, my favorite tweet from yesterday from a guy named Joe DeVito. It said, Luigi Mangione only wanted health care for his brother Mario, a humble plumber who was brutally attacked by a turtle.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously making the, like, when have you heard the name Luigi recently either? I mean, that's a really old name.
Yeah.
Unless you happen to play video games.
We used to have a guy that would was a repairman named Fabio, and I just couldn't get the dreamy Fabio out of my
yeah,
head.
With
although
the long,
he did not look
mane.
Like that guy.
No.
I have a hard time saying Luigi. I feel like if I say that name, I have to say Luigi.
Yeah, you do.
I have to put an accent like with it.
Yeah. That's what you have to do.
You do.
As a broadcaster.
Yeah.
Well,
that's professional.
This guy's in deep doo-doo.
It was nominated for Song of the Year at the Grammys.
That's
was
incredible.
It really? And it lost to Billy Joel.
What year?
70 is from 78, so it was 1979.
Okay, 78, 79.
Got to number four, right?
I just can't imagine the record label executive hearing that and going, ah, yeah, it's going to be a big hit. It's going to be a giant hit.
Play that on KSLQ.
Yeah. Years from now, they won't be playing Billy Joel anymore, but they'll be playing this one.
Well, now Song
Chuck
of the Year
Mangione.
Is WAP. Wasn't WAP Song of the Year?
Yeah, 10 years
like,
ago.
Okay.
Goodness.
See? You compare it to that.
Sure. It's Shaboozy
downhill.
Now.
It's actually a good song.
It's out song.
But even as somebody who was, who probably just started driving in about 1979, I couldn't have imagined going down the street in my Firebird blasting some Chuck Mangione. It would have been Van Halen or something like that. I just have to, not that that's going to surprise anyone, but that's what it would have been.
If you are that guy that was blasting Chuck Mangione out of your rolled down windows, please let us know. We want to know
sure
who you are.
There was somebody out there who was doing that.
Kim, they used it on Friends.
They used that song?
They did.
On Friends?
The one with all the haste. The neighbor across the alley, apartment 19, sings a song.
Oh, I know what it is. It's when Rachel's irritated because the guy. Okay.
He puts lyrics to that song.
Yes.
Ah, now we have a connection.
Now she knows.
Now she
I know
knows.
Exactly what you're talking about.
That's good. Wiggins, you've been looking at some immigration polls because you are Dances with Polls.
Yep, I am. I see a poll and I start dancing. That's how that came about. This is a postmortem on the election, actually. So if we haven't done enough of that.
No, I'm fascinated by that. I saw one the other day on just on the voting out of District 2 here for CD2, and it was some of the numbers were pretty shocking.
Yeah, this is saying what everybody was saying before the election, but the Democrats were like, nope, no way we're listening to that. People cared about immigration in this election, Mark.
Oh, imagine that.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. Yeah.
It says that among, and this is Democrat polling firm Blueprint 2024.
Okay.
So this is not a GOP poll. Says that postmortem is among total swing voters who ultimately chose Trump, immigration was a key issue, with 77% of them believing that it was extremely or very accurate to say Democrats are not tough enough on addressing the border crisis. So among swing voters, 77% said, yeah, that was a deciding factor for me. Democrats are not tough enough on this issue.
But even as recently as yesterday, Carl Middleman, we have a cut number 13 here where CNN panelists would argue with you that that's not the case, Ryan. Listen to this.
I might be deported because I'm a naturalized citizen. And Stephen Miller, who is Donald Trump's deputy chief of staff, has said that they're going to embark on a denaturalization program. So I could be deported. My citizenship could be taken away. And my children could be deported because they have birthright citizenship. So this is not what the country voted for. Let's be very clear. Americans voted for Trump because of groceries, because of lowering costs. He has not talked about that one bit.
Wow, it's almost like we set that. I didn't know you had that clip.
Yeah, it's almost like you set that up for me, but we happen to have that clip where it's like, this is not what Americans voted for. Guess what? It is, according to this number.
It absolutely is, because it's not just swing voters, because they were looking at swing states. Like, why? How do we lose the swing states? And they were looking at this. But it's people across the spectrum. Let me go back up here to the top, where it says that around 70% of Americans, so all Americans, not just swing voters, not just swing states, strongly approve or somewhat approve that the number one issue that Trump should take on right away is deporting criminal illegal immigrants. So that includes lots of Democrats.
Yeah.
If you get into the 70 percentile there, you're including not just party lines. You're talking about Americans. So it's amazing. That clip is funny because I've seen a lot of misinformation about what even Trump's plans could be, how they would apply. Of people say, have you seen this on Twitter? We're saying, well, if he applies his own laws to his children, they all would be deported. You know, and this is ridiculous because he is an American citizen. You're talking about Melania, and all these things. And so I'm not even sure about what she's talking about there. I'd have to fact check and see, and because naturalized citizen is a term that I'd have to really dig to make sure she was accurate.
I don't know either. My guess is if she became naturalized after she got here and she had children before that happened, but she's now naturalized, is she trying to argue that he might still try to deport her children because she's been naturalized, but her children were born before she was naturalized?
Right.
But she was on the path to legal citizenship where she couldn't have been naturalized to begin with. These people are not the problem.
Right. Exactly.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah. That's I don't know how always gets lost in the discussion that when we're talking about immigration, we're talking about illegal immigration, not legal immigration, which actually the vast majority of Americans, Democrat and Republican, are very pro-immigration. We're just anti-illegal immigration.
When you think about it, Kamala Harris did us a great favor for being as incompetent as she was on the border, for doing nothing, for accepting the borders are title, whether they'll still argue till they're blue in the face that she wasn't. She was the point person for immigration. She blew it, and Americans were paying attention.
Yeah. I mean,
that's what that poll tells you, right?
And it did not need to be a partisan issue. You go back 10 years, even probably less than that. This was not a partisan issue. Democrats made it a partisan issue because Trump wanted to be strict on the border, and they said, oh, well, then we'll do the exact opposite of whatever Trump does.
You think of the clip that Hillary Clinton had from 2008. We played it when you were gone, I think, Mark, talking about what needs to be done to these illegals. And one of the things she said is people who come here, they need to speak English. They need to learn the English language and they need to pay stiff fines. And we need to deport them and send them back where they came from. And now all those people would be up in arms if Kamala Harris would have said the same thing.
Yep. They can't be honest about it. They just can't. So, Ryan, remind people where they can listen to Wiggins America.
Saturday morning, 7 to 8. Sunday evenings, 7 to 8.
Yes, and last year, you and I were on the Polar Express together, weren't we?
Yeah, we were last year.
I saw I met your boys.
I didn't go this year.
That's special,
I didn't
see you guys. You had that moment together.
We did. We had a moment.
Yeah, I walked by and we caught eyes.
But coming up.
We didn't say anything, though.
You just could tell in his eyes what he was going to say.
That's true. Coming up, though, we're going to talk about the other great things that are going on down at Union Station where you can take the kids and they'll just be, they'll love it. And we'll get to more details coming up after the break. All right, welcome back. If you tuned into the show Monday, even with my horribly gravelly voice, which is getting better slowly as the week grinds on, you would have heard me bragging about what we did on Sunday with our grandkids. My wife and I were able to take them to Pancakes with Santa down at Union Station, and I tell you, it was over-the-top spectacular. I have a 3.5-year-old and a 14-month-old, and they were mesmerized for the entire event. They got to see Santa Claus, who was walking around, and eat pancakes that looked like Santa's face with the whipped cream and the strawberries on it. The light show on the ceiling had them fascinated in between seeing Santa Claus. It was very well done. We've got Todd Hodling in with us right now from St. Louis Union Station. And Todd, welcome in.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here this morning. Good morning.
Good to have you.
Yeah.
You guys are doing good stuff down there,
There's so much magic happening right now this time of year down at Union Station. I mean, we welcome in, you know this, Mark, we welcome in people from all over the country to Union Station. And it's such a great event. And the Polar Express is probably one of our largest, most well-attended events, probably one of the most popular events in St. Louis this time of year. Just a lot of magic.
We did that as well. We took the kids down, and I think Kim's still thinking about trying to get down there, right?
Yeah, trying to take my son at some point. Yeah.
We did it a year ago. This year, I think my grandson enjoyed it even more at 3.5 because he had the book, and we read it to him at Christmas last year and again this year, and he wore his pajamas, and the kids really get into it. And the people that you hire to work for that as the conductors and the Santa's elves.
Yeah, it's a lot of local talent, and they come in, and they sell it. I mean, they just make it magic for the kids, and when Santa comes on board and gives that gift, I mean, the kids are just totally amazed. I mean, they leave that thing hopped up on hot chocolate and the cookie, and some of them can't even talk. You know, they're just so wowed by the trip to the North Pole, but there's so many other things happening at Union Station, too. You went a couple years ago, but we have, you know, the Mrs. Claus cookie, her kitchen experience this year that's new, and of O'Tannen Bar outside. So, you know, as parents are walking around with the kids going crazy, they see the fire and light show on the water there. They can grab a cocktail at the O'Tannen Bar. And obviously, Sleigh Shed is super popular right now, and it's really well decorated in the old train shed space.
That's
there,
the pop-up, right?
Yeah, it's the pop-up, holiday pop-up. So
those are so trendy now. Everyone wants to go to a holiday pop-up to get some fancy, you know, holiday cocktail.
Well, the pictures. I mean, it's so picture-worthy. I know, Mark, you're a big bourbon guy.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say you're a big picture guy.
Yeah, and a big picture guy. Yeah,
well, with the kids these days.
Always have to have the good backdrop for his selfie.
But they have really great cocktails at the train shed there, and Sleigh Shed has special holiday cocktails right now, but my Zazarak's my favorite.
Oh, is it? Yeah.
Oh, it's so good over there. Yeah. But and then obviously the Grand Hall, you know, when that's available, we have special holiday light shows that we're putting on in there and everything. So it's just a really fun time of year, and we really enjoy the support of the local community, that really people from all over are coming down and your listeners as well. So I mean, having people come down there, really, you know, maybe they've never been down there or they haven't been down there in a long time. There's just so many magical things to see. We have a scuba Santa in the aquarium.
I saw a picture of that. Yeah. That I don't know if it was on Channel 4. One of the websites had the picture of. Happen daily?
You know, it's on the weekends. So come in and there's you have to go on the website.
You put him in the shark tank?
Yeah, he swims with the sharks.
It's great. We went 2 years ago.
Yeah, and you can ask him questions and he'll answer. And it's a whole thing.
You guys are nice enough right now to offer people a discount, right? Who want to go down to Polar Express tickets?
Yeah, like I said, we really appreciate the listeners and the community here. We love to offer everybody a discount on those Polar tickets. They're selling out very fast, but we did release quite a few more. We released about 800 more next week and to the end of the year. It goes to the 30th. And that promo code is VIP5.
Okay.
And we'll make sure that that gets out there and that gets live so your listeners can enjoy a little bit of discount on those Polar tickets.
What's the best website do you go to for that?
It's probably just the Union Station website, which is stlewisunionstation.com.
Okay.
Yep.
and use that VIP 5 code and
when you select your seat, you got to select your date, time, and then your seats, and then you plug that in.
Yeah, I almost hate to give this away, but the Pancake with Santa deal always sells out.
Yeah.
So you almost got to start looking in September or October to get your tickets for that, or it'll be too, like right now I'm bragging about it, but you couldn't get a seat if you wanted to.
It is sold out for the rest of the season.
Todd Hodling, we appreciate what you guys have done down there, and thank you for coming in and offering people the discount there.
That's great. Happy holidays. Thanks so much for
having me. Happy holidays.
On.
I'll go down and have a Sazerac at the pop-up bar.
Yeah, I like that.
Sounds good. Thank you, Todd. All right, that does it for us. Kilmeade is up next. We'll get Annie Fry, Mark Reardon in a little later in the day. Enjoy your Tuesday. Kim, Carl, and Sue and I will see you back here tomorrow morning at 5 a.m.
Get more at 971talk.com.